All right, so we continue along with Chazara. We're continuing along. Source 23, the Gemara has a Shaila. Okay, we introduced last week the concept of Chazara. 2 weeks ago, the concept of Chazara. We introduced the fact that there are five Tanaim that are needed. Just to review them, the five conditions are, number one, it has to be fully cooked. Because if it's not fully cooked, it's nothing to do with Chazara. It's just a problem of cooking. Number two, it has to be that it's still hot. Why does it have to still be hot? That's something we discussed. The Paiskim differ on that, whether it's because if it was not still hot, there would be a problem of Bishul. Or we saw that there was a Bach who seemed to have understood it differently, that the reason why it has to be still be hot, because if it's cold, then we view it as a new cooking. In other words, the whole idea of Chazara is that you're just continuing the process from Erev Shabbos, and once it cools down, you can no longer say you're continuing it because it's really a new heating up. And the other three Tanaim are that you have to have in mind to put it back on at the time you take it off. You have to still be holding it. You shouldn't put it down. And the fire that you plan to return it to needs to be covered. You can't put it back onto the open flame. It has to be garuf fakatum. Now, the Gemara has a shaila. At the end of that long Gemara where we got all those conditions from, and we saw that those conditions really were born out of a slew of disputes amongst the Achrayim. In other words, there were a bunch of different opinions in the Achrayim. Sorry, in the Amayroim. And we have the Machlekes Rishayim between the Rambam and the Gaius Maimani, which ones of those actually become relevant. The Halacha, the Ashkenazim are Machmir, and the Sfardim are more Mekel, and exactly how many conditions you need. But ultimately, according to us, I think everyone in this room is from the Ashkenaz Mesira, and therefore we have to have all these five tonight. Gemara has a shaila as follows. Source 23. Boyer of Ashi. Pinon mimechem lemechem mahu. The person pours the food from one pot. Let's call it a pot. A mechem really means a kettle, right. But here you pour it from one pot to the next. What's the halacha? The Gemara says, take. The Gemara does not have an answer to the shaila. So in other words, let's just take a case. You have soup. It's on the fire, and you take it off for whatever reason it is. You want to serve it. Now you want to put it back on. Now you have poured all the soup out of the original pot. Now you want to put the second pot back onto the fire. That's the Gemara. Shaila, the Gemara said, does not have an answer to it. The Rishayim, specifically the Taisus and the Ran, we're going to see both of them now in Source 24 and 25, have a kasha as follows. Bim Taimar, in Source 25, Taisus in Shabbos, Daf Lama Chesem, and Beis asks a kasha, and Dibra Mascha, Pinu Mechel, and Mechem. The parak b'metaymenin, Tanya v'chein har b'shimin gamlu oimer le'asru ela b'oisei mechem v'apinu mechem l'mechem muter. Gemara says very, very clearly, when it comes to hatmana is insulating. To insulate a pot, to wrap a pot inside blankets or whatever it is, we're going to get to that sugya immediately following this one. But over there, the halacha is that you're not allowed to wrap something in davar ha'moisef hevel ever. I mean, for Shabbos, you can't have something in Davar Mitzvah, something which continues to generate heat. You can't wrap something in that. Even something which is not Mitzvah Hevel, does not generate heat, you can only do it on Erev Shabbos, but you can't do it on Shabbos. The Gemara says in Perek Metaymenin that if you were to pour the contents from one pot or one jug, one thermos to another one, then you are allowed to wrap the second pot. So you see very clearly that when it's in the second pot, we're more lenient. So why is it the Gemara over here is in doubt what the halacha is? The Gemara says, take it. The Gemara does not have an answer to Ravashi's shayla. The Gemara seems to be very clear about that. When it comes to hatmana, the fact that it's in the second pot is more kal. So the Tosfos...
Why would you think it's comparable? In hatmana, it's losing heat as a force...
The reason... I think the answer... And Taisus really would make a lot of sense, and we're going to see Taisus is going to give us a difference. But Taisus understands really that the chashash of hatmana and of chazara is the same thing, that you will come to stoke the flames.
But the second part.
So if we're not worried by hatmana, we shouldn't be worried by chazara, right?
But is the second pot going on the same heating source, or is it not on the heating source?
By Chazar, you'll put it back on the same.
In this case.
You'll put it back onto the same flame. You have a flame on. You took it off your stove. You have a pot of soup, and you pour it into another pot, and you want to return the second pot to the flame. Then can you do that? That's the Gemara Shaila. The Gemara does not have an answer. So Tosfos has an answer. He says, "Vayomer Benu Tam." Dehacha gabi hashaha al gabi kira. He's calling it hashah, but he means our case of chazara. Kishahu ba'oisay mecham shehu cham le'asi lichituye. When it's in the original pot is hot, so it will not be necessary for him to stoke the flames. Habu mecham acher, he pours into a cold pot, to another pot, shehu kar asi lichituye. Person's going to come to stoke it. Aval gabi hatmana shari tveik shukar devechitu muat layoyel. Tosfos says that here he's putting it back onto a flame. So there's what to talk about. He wants it to be hot. Now he poured it from one pot to the next, whatever reason. Let's say there's a hole in the pot. I don't know. For whatever reason it was, he poured it from one pot to the next. So now when he puts it back on the fire, he's concerned because I just poured hot soup into a cold pot. I really want it to be hot. So Tosfos says he'll stoke the flames. When it comes to Hatmana, it's really not a very effective way of keeping something hot for a long time. So doing a little bit of Chitoy is not going to help you. Now, what does he mean by Chitoy? What are you stoking? So we have to learn Hatmana to understand this. But we're talking about our cases are where sometimes you have remets, which is a mixture of coals and together with some afer. But ultimately, there's what to talk about. We'll get there. But the point that Tosfos is making is that when it comes to Hatmana, it's not going to help. So God will do it. When it comes to Chazar, it will help. That's Tosfos' answer. The Ran has a different answer. The Ran says, Lav Kushi. He asked the same question. I underlined it in Source 25. Lav Kushihi. Dehasam hainu le'inyin matmin medavar she'ene ma'isif heva. She'ene ma'isif. He's wrapping it in something which doesn't generate heat. Aval hacha de'asar shum de'mechzi k'mevashal tvei mechzi k'mevashal b'meich m'sheni mi b'meichem rishin. First thing that Tosfos says is, the first thing the Ran says is that by Chazara, it's worse than Hatmana. Because Chazara, what are you doing? You're putting it back on the fire. So now what looks more like a new cooking? Putting an old pot back on the fire or putting a new pot back on the fire? A minute ago, this pot was in the cabinet. Now the pot's on the fire. So that looks like you're cooking. So in other words, you can't compare it. Exactly your point. They're not comparable. It's not the same discussion. Over there, Hatmana, we're talking about whether or not the person can wrap it. Here we're talking about an entirely different story. Here we're discussing whether or not it looks like Bishul. Yes, putting a new pot on the fire looks like Bishul. It looks much worse. He gives another answer, which is really in line of everything we've been saying up until now. He says, okay, so I want to clarify the answers a little bit better. The first answer that he gives is, we've been describing Chazara as follows. You did a Shehiyah, which is Mutter. It's Mutter to do Shehiyah. Then you want to take a detour. You want to pull the pot off the fire for a little bit, and then put it back on. So now, when it comes to trying to remain within that parameter of I'm returning it to its original state. You could say you're returning a pot to its original state if that's what you're doing. It was on the fire. I took it off for a minute. I'm returning it. You put it into a second pot. So then that's no longer within the description that we gave for Chazara. It's a new thing. It's not a detour. It's not that I just took a little stop on the way and I went back onto the fire. I put it into a second pot. So that's much more, that looks like a mechzik, that's much more of a mechzik mevashal. The second answer that he gives is, there's a very big difference between the case of Hatmana and the case over here. Over here, what I'm doing is, I take a kli rishon, I pour it into a kli sheni, says the Ran, the Gemara's shaila was, can I pour it back into the kli rishon? That's the Gemara's shaila. Can I take it into a kli sheni? In other words, I have a pot of soup. I pour it into a bowl. I'm still holding the bowl, and then I put it back into the pot. Is that okay? That's not what we discussed by Hatmana. Hatmana, what we were discussing was, I put it into a kli sheni, and that shows, that seems to indicate that I'm not concerned about the heat, because I put it into a kli sheni. That's why it's mutter to wrap that. It's mutter to wrap it because I already cooled it down You're going to worry that I'm going to go heat it up. Why did I put it into a kli sheni if I want it to still be hot? But here, what we're doing is you put it into a kli sheni. Now you want to put it back into the kli rishon. That's what the Ran says. So two answers. One of them, that it's worse by Chazara, because it now looks like it's a mechzik mevashel, because I'm taking a brand new pot and putting it on the fire. Second answer is that we're discussing not putting the kli sheni back on the fire, rather putting it back into kli rishon. That would be much more problematic.
So I'm putting it back in the kli rishon to put back on the fire.
Yes. Yeah. The question, in other words, ultimately the Gemara's question is, we know that the halacha has to be ayde b'yaday. You can't put it down. How do we view pouring into a kli sheni? Is that still considered holding it? Maybe that is like putting it back on, putting on the floor.
But according to the Ran, then what would be the case if you, I mean, not the Gemara's case, that because he's saying the Gemara's question is from kli rishon to kli sheni, back to kli rishon. What about kli rishon to kli sheni? That he says definitely is also.
So that would be according to the second Taras, that would be fine.
Because it's similar to hot money, you're allowed to.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's the same thing.
But that's according to the second answer in the Ran. If you take the kli sheni and put it back on, that's fine.
And that's not nechzek mevashel.
No, because I'm not pouring it back into kli rishon. It's harder to. No. The second answer is not dealing with mechzik mevashel. The second answer is whether this is considered putting it down, because we know the halach is you have to hold it. So putting it to a kli sheni and then pouring it back into kli rishon shows that this is not my pot anymore. I put it down.
So this case is all happening within a matter of seconds.
It could take a little bit longer.
So you're not bringing the second pot to the table, serving it, bringing it back.
It has to be that it still stayed warm.
I don't know. Let's make a case. You have a big family, and you have a large, huge pot of soup sitting on the fire, and you want to serve it. And so you fill up this big jug. Just this Shabbos, we went away for Shabbos, and the way they served the soup, they had these pitchers. The pitchers, very nice pitchers that they had. They filled up with boiling hot soup. Took it. You have a big, huge pot on the fire. You fill it up with soup. Then you go to everyone's bowl, and you pour the soup in. Now, say you filled up... It's official creation.
Right,
okay, now you filled up six bowls and you have leftover. You say, you know what? Put it back in the pot. So obviously it's talking about we had a mind to put it back on. You said, you know, I'll fill up all the bowls and I'll put all the extra back in the pot. So the question is, when you put into that kli sheni, how do we view that kli sheni? Can you still pour it back into the original pot? Do you say that's considered like you put it down on the floor? That's the way the Ran explains it.
But where's the kli rishon in the meantime?
It's still in the pot. It's still on the fire.
It's still on the fire?
Yeah.
I mean, time has.
Let
to
me
be
give
factor.
You a perfect so example of where this case could be very relevant.
You can take it directly.
I'll give you an example of where this case could be very relevant. Your chalent is starting to dry out. All right, and you realize it's Friday night. Now your chalent is another 12 hours on the flame, and you know that if I leave the chalent the way it is, by tomorrow it's going to be dried out. So you think you have a great idea. Have an urn on the other side of the kitchen. Let me just open the spout of the urn, fill up a cup. Mm-hmm. Now, what's that cup? Kli sheni. Can I take that cup and pour it into a kli rishon, which is my chalent pot?
Off the fire, though.
Maybe on. Why off the fire?
Well, both cases, then. Off the fire.
Making a good point. I just want to know why I'm making the point. I go to my urn. My urn has a little spout.
Still kli rishon, even off the fire, so...
No.
The chalent pot is still kli rishon off the fire.
Correct.
Right.
Exactly. Either or, the chalent pot could be on or off the fire. But here, a perfect case. I have an urn on one half of the side of the kitchen, chalent pot the other side of the kitchen. I would like to get water from the urn to the chalent pot. Now, chalent's drying out. I fill up a cup with water from the kli sheni, with water from the urn. Right. That cup now is as a kli sheni.
Right.
Gemara wants to know, can I now take that water and put it back into the chalent pot?
So it doesn't have to be to the same kli rishon.
Oh, so that's why I brought the next Maran Lakwa on the paper. If you look in the Ramah, in Source 26.
Mugabu was saying it has to be off the fire. And you said...
Right. The reason why I agreed with him is
that,
because...
Does that have to do with it looking like cooking? If you're
no.
In,
the reason why I said off the fire is because... In the halacha that we learned previously of hagasa, of stirring a pot on the fire, one of the ways of stirring a pot is by pouring water in very with a lot of force. So if you pour it slowly, it wouldn't be an issue. But if, say, you take up you know, a lot of water and dump it in, so it automatically mixes it. That's why I'm saying you should pour it in slowly. That's why I'm saying he's right. You should take it off the fire because it's agasa. It's at worst agasa shalai al eish. In other words, you should still pour it in slowly. So if you look at, and how do I know that you're allowed to do that? Because in source 26, the Rama writes, this is the halacha of, we saw this earlier, the halacha which we mentioned about the five tanayim, says the Rama, after you fulfilled the five tanayim, v'oz mutra lahachzir, you're allowed to return to the fire, tafilu l'kira acheres, even to another flame. It doesn't have to be the same flame. What's the difference which flame it's going on? As long as both of them are hot, I take it from one, I can put it to the other one. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah there, sorry, I didn't leave a space. And he writes, "Afilu im havla meruba merishayna." Even if the second one is hotter, mikol makom lo yehavi rak b'chla chazara v'shari. Okay, let's stop over there in that Rama. So this Gemara Shaila is very relevant because it could be relevant all the time. You have a challah pot where it's drying out. You didn't put enough water before Shabbos, and now it's drying out. You want to add water to it. Can you do that? Can you not? So Lamaisa, the Gemara leaves off with a teku. And the Paiskim deal with this. And there's two eitzes to do when your challenge dries out. Since, according to the Ran, it seems like pouring it into a second keli and then pouring it back to the Kli Rishayin would be a problem, a lot of places can prefer if you just fill up your challen pot. In other words, take your challen off the fire, carry it to the urn, and then put water straight into the pot, and then put it back in. Right. Like this, you'll avoid the problem. And according to the Ran, that would be okay. Right?
Okay.
The reason why a lot of Paiskim don't like this is an entirely different issue. It's a Yerideya issue. Is will your urn become flashix?
Because of the stream? Steam.
Yeah. Because of the
stream or the steam?
Both.
Okay.
Good answer.
Both. Now, I wanted to print this out before I got here, but I didn't have time. My computer started giving me some trouble today, so I got a little backed up with finding this. But I'm 99% sure that it's in the Michel Shleima, Reb Shleima Zalman. I'll check it up exactly where it is. But Reb Shleima Zalman writes clearly that you can do that. You know, I shouldn't quote Reb Shleima Zalman, because even though I'm 99% sure it was him,
you can do what?
That there's no problem of allowing the water to go from the urn straight into the challan pot. And he quotes the Chai Adam, who writes that there's no the issue that you mentioned in a stream is called nitzik chibur. Now nitzik chibur never asks b'diavad, less than certain, but only on Pesach. But the rest of the year, the nitzik, that stream that runs between the urn and the challan pot, where ultimately you could say that the pot is connected through that stream and it will go back into the pot and make inflation. He said that's not going to work when the thing on the bottom is cham. The thing on the bottom is hot. It's not gonna make that problem. I don't want to get into the Yeridei of it right now, but we can discuss it at great length.
Well, actually, what should we do in that case?
So in that case, you have one of two eitzes: either put it under the urn and squirt some water in, or you could do this eitz of filling up a cup. I just personally would recommend using a plastic cup, and the reason for that is because a plastic cup, even though we don't paskin like this, some paskin give it a lower din of Kli Sheni, because the whole lumdus of Kli Sheni is that the walls, the fanus mitzanones, the walls cool off the water. Plastic cup doesn't have much of a wall.
So not styrofoam.
Use a plastic cup all onto the top, fill it up, then pour it in. That's my personal pshar that I would say. Because again, Plemazama was matter, you to pour it to pour straight from the urn into it, and as well, I've seen that he's matter to fill up a cup and pour it in. So both of those cases, he would allow you to do. Now, I would just add, you know, just because the Gemara left off with a teku, I would personally add that you should use one of these thin cups, so it doesn't even have a real din of a klisheni. It's kind of just like flying in the air. It's like a weak klisheni. That's that topic. Okay, The next thing I want to discuss, what time is it now? 8:57. I think we have a couple more minutes. It's something which is it's a very fundamental point, and it really comes to it's very relevant, which is taking things out of the refrigerator and putting it onto the fire. So you know, Shabbos morning, your wife wants to warm up a kugel, she wants to warm up a schnitzel, or whatever it is that she wants to serve, whatever you want to serve. You take a kugel out of the fridge, you want to serve it. What can you do with it? Says the Ron, source number 28. It's on the Rif, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, in the Rif. Says the Ron, V'chein Nami, Mutter Losses Al Pi Kederas Chamin B'Shabbos, Tavshal Shem Spashal Me'er Shabbos, Kol Tzarchai, Kegayin, Panadish, Balaz. Says the Ran, you want to take a panadish, which is an empanada. It's like basically a knish. It's a knish. It's a dry food. You want to take it out of the refrigerator and warm it up. Says the Ran, you can put it on top of a pot. You have a pot that's cooking. Let's go back to our chalon pot. Our chalon pot is cooking. It's been there for the past 18 hours. It's nice and hot. You take it and put it on top of the chalon pot. Says the Ran, that's not a problem. That's fine. It's mutter. And at the end, he writes, "V'esher gamkein demasha ain darkei lefa sagabe kira kegoyin panadish." Things which are not normal to be cooked on top of a kira. Ukeyetzeba shemutter lechamam b'shabbos agabe kira. You're allowed to warm it up on top of an oven. Agabe kisei shar barzel. If you put a piece of metal on top. Says the Ran, anything which is mitzdamik varali, the more it dries out, the worse it's going to get. As long as it's normal, it's not normal to cook in that place, to heat up in that place. It's clear. The only reason why I'm putting it there is to warm it up, and it's not a normal way of cooking. A normal way of cooking it, says the Ran, that lechari would also be mutter. So two things he says. Number one. To put food on top of a pot is mutter. You have a pot sitting there cooking, and again, it was there, it's mutter. You did shahiyah. You left it there in a way that was mutter to leave it there from before Shabbos. That pot is nice and hot. You can go ahead and take food and put it on top of there. So
the yavish.
Yavish, right.
Even though it's not normal, you might think that lach would be okay too if it's not an
Again, we have to, we're never allowed to violate any isser bishul. So lach, if the lach is going to reach Yat Seledespai, so we pass in bishop devar lach shen stanein. So to take anything lach and put it in a place where it's going to get to yatz lettuce, but that would be a problem. A darva yavesh, where there's no problem with bishul, I can put it on top of a pot, even if it will reach higher than yatz lettuce. By why says the Ran? Because that's not a normal way of cooking. Lefisha ain derech bishul b'kach. That's not the way you cook. Again, what's the whole issue of chazar according to Rashi? And according, it seems like this is the way we pass in. It's mechzikim avashal. It looks like you're cooking. It doesn't look like I'm cooking if I'm putting something in a place where it's not normal to put it. So that's the thing that the Ran says. And again, the way the Ran writes it is you can take it out of the refrigerator and put it on top of this pot. No tanoi chazara. Again, it has to be cooked all the way. It has to be a davar yavesh to avoid bishul problems. You don't have to have da'ati lahachzir. You don't have to have oide biyadai. None of those things are necessary. Just put it on top of the pot. What's the halacha in Source 29 Shulchan Aruch? Simration Gimel Sefei Mutra Losses Apikdir Eschamin B'Shabbos Tav Shoshin Espashim Erev Shabbos Kol Tzarchai Kegoyin Pandish Ukeyotzben Lechamim Fishin Derech B'Shabakach. The Mechaber Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Ran that if you have a food which again there's no problem with bishul on the food, you can take it out of the refrigerator, put it on top of a pot that's cooking. All right, no Tanoi Chazar necessary. Now you don't have to have das to put it back. It could be coming from the refrigerator.
Does it need to be in stomach morale?
In that case, no.
So what about a hot dog that theoretically is already cooked? But you're
just no problem.
Taking it out of the package. It's never been cooked before. And you could put that in a warming drawer, heat it up for the kids to eat.
Yeah, the only issue with that would be if it's yesha a fia achar bishul. Right, but again, since it's the special called tzarchai. But we won't call that a fia. Simply just putting it in a place where it's going to get warm. It'll get warm. It's not going to be roasted. In other words, the way the Chazanish describes it is that the taste, if it will have seen significant taste improvement. It's not going to change its taste by heating it up in a warming drawer. So that would be fine. You can do that. In other words, it's like taking a piece of pastrami. Take a piece of pastrami and put it on top of your challah pot. That would be fine. That would be fine. Now, the warming drawer, I didn't get to the warming drawer yet. We discussed warming drawers. What we're discussing at this point in time is putting it on top of a pot.
Okay, so putting it on top of a pot.
Basically. Okay?
And that, challah also, there's no issue with that.
Exactly, no problem.
Challah, that great crust at the bottom.
No problem.
Sitting on top of the
no problem. But a challah is baked. A challah is baked. You're taking a challah, you're taking its dry item, put it on top of your challah pot in the morning, come back in time for your suda. It's nice and warm through and through, crusty on the bottom. It's not a problem.
Right. When you say that it's fully baked, some people bake their challah, it still has a little bit of...
It's still considered fully baked, yeah. My wife does that also.
I don't know if it's on purpose all the time.
I know.
Yeah, my wife does it on purpose.
And if that continues the baking, that's fine?
Okay, so that already gets into an interesting discussion.
Because you can't know. You don't know until you cut into it whether or not it's fully baked.
Your wife probably knows. Yeah, they know how long you leave a challah in the oven for until it's considered fully baked.
The oven might not work well. We've had this.
You get used
to
it.
There's plenty of times you cut into challah and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm so sorry, it's raw. You know, I didn't realize. It
okay,
in such
yeah, you don't have to worry about that case.
I don't know if the challah pot's going to make the difference in that little building.
Right, we'll discuss that. So that's the halacha. And says the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, right there in Sukkot and Pei Zayin, he explains, Shein Darach Bishnah B'kach, what's the Leimar? Daf Tekayim Lash Aslit in the Chatechila B'Shabbos, Al Kira Afilin Spashal Kol Tzarchai. Even though we know you can't just take something out of the refrigerator and heat it up, even if it's fully cooked. V'hu Davar Cham, V'gam Akira Grufu K'tum Mahasam Atam Mishnah Diner Kim V'Vashal B'Shabbos Darach Bishnah B'kach. All those tanayim that you need of chazara, of daiti lahaksh and oidevi yadai, that's only something which is nirkim avashal. In other words, I'm taking a pot and I'm putting it on top of the flame. Yes, it's gar fakatim, but I'm putting it on top of the flame, that's nirkim avashal. Then what am I doing? Aval hacha, ain't derech bishal bakachet, they have sekadir, ain't nirkim avashal. It's not normal for someone to take something and cook on top of a pot. No one cooks like that. That's why you could just take it out of the refrigerator and put it straight on top of the pot. Now we have another thing. The Mordechai, Nagoyus Mordechai actually, in the third parak of Shabbos, in Tafnun Vav, he writes in the long, it's a very long piece, but he writes there, Vamashkim Abaiker. Person wakes up in the morning, V'rosh Ekdicha Tavshilei. Nebuch, he sees his food is getting burnt. V'yari Shemei Ekdich Yaser. It's going to get even more burnt by the time we're ready to eat it. The challah is going to be challah crackers. It's no longer going to be an edible challah. Omer Ani, says the Mordechai, know what I say? Sheyachol lahasr laniach k'der rekanis al pi akira v'havalei kira grufo k'tuma. Take an empty pot. Now, in other words, you have your challah sitting on top of the fire. It's burnt. It's getting burnt. Says the Mordechai, go get an empty pot out and cover the flame. That will make the oven like it's now garafakatum. And then, Sharia Kdera, so Semis Sakira, the Kdera covers the fire. Baz Yasemis Hakdera, Shahamechem, Ba Gabik Dera Rekonis. Says the Mark, I have a great idea. Do Chazara. Take the pot off with intention to return it. Don't put it down. Cover the flame with a pot. Now your flame is Garafakatim, it's covered. Put the pot back on top. It won't burn anymore because the flame, the heat will be decreased a little bit. That's the Mordechai's.
So he says you're allowed to put a blechon on Shabbos.
Yeah. Number one, you're allowed to put a blechon on Shabbos.
He says that you have to have in mind.
Yes. Now, exactly. Now go to the second part that's underlined. V'yizar shlo yaniach k'derosei agav akarka, ela yanichena biyadoi ad shiyosem akder acheres. Don't put it down. Hold on to it the whole time. Api akir di'i havi manach a'ara lo havi matzi yisul ladrui k'deprishis. If you're going to put it down, you won't be able to return it. Now we have a problem. See in Shulchan Aruch in source number 32, sort in Simon Resh and Gimel Sif Gimel. In other words, the same Simon two Simonim earlier. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this Mordechai. Hamashkim abayik of Rosh Ekdichas Hashilei. Person wakes up in the morning, sees his food is getting burnt. It's Mamash's Lashon. V'yari penek diach yes, his word is going to get burnt more. Yachal asir laniach k'der yishan reikanes. Le'al pi akira. Oh, sorry, that's not Le'al, it's just Lamed Aleph. It's just one of the Nisa Kalim. It says, Lanicha Kdera Yeshana Reikanas al pia kirov oz yasim hakdera shetavsh b'sech gabi hakdera reikanas yizarish la yasim derosa gabi karkas v'tir shetir isachas. Okay, says the mechaber Shulchan Aruch, quotes this Mordechai exactly word for word. He says he wakes up in the morning, it's getting burnt. Take the food off, put an empty pot on top, put the pot back on top. But he says, make sure that you'll have tanai chazar. Make sure you had a mind to return it and you didn't put it down. Now, if that's the case, we have a problem. In Sif Hey, says the Shulchan Aruch, you'll have to take something out of the refrigerator and put it on top of a pot. In Sif Gimel, says the Shulchan Aruch, no. A pot is simply garif hakatam. So now we have an issue. Why is it when you're putting it, why is it in Sif Gimel, in Shulchan Aruch it says, that it's a regular chazar. You have to have the conditions of having in mind to return it and holding it in your hand the whole time. In other words, you can't just take an empty pot, cover your flame, and then put your chalent on top of it. You can't just take your kugel out of the refrigerator in the morning and put it on top of an empty pot. You have to have tanai chazar. It has to still be hot. You have to have a mind to return it. That's what it says in Sif Gimel. But then, a couple lines later in Sif Hey, he says you can take your kugel out of the refrigerator in the morning, put it on top of a pot. So what is it? Can I take it out of the refrigerator and put it on top of a pot or not? You hear the problem? You understand the problem here? In Sif Gimel, he says, if you want to use a pot as garif hakatam, that's fine. But oil is a regular garif hakatam. In order to put food there, you have to fulfill the two conditions that are necessary to fulfill in order to return it to the three conditions. It has to still be hot, you have to still be holding it, and you have to have in mind to return it. That's what it says in Sif Gimel. In Sif Hey, it says you can take it out of the refrigerator and put it on top of a pot. So which one is it? Do I need it to still be hot and have in mind to return it and still be holding it? Or can I just take it out of the refrigerator? In other words, there's no problem between the Mordechai and the Ran. Because the Mordechai could be saying one thing, the Ran could be saying another thing. They could be disagreeing with each other. The Ran could say, as long as you have a pot separated between the fire and the food, you could take it out of the refrigerator and put it there. And the Mordechai could be disagreeing and saying, no, having a pot is just like any covering for the flame, and you would still have to have the other conditions where it's still hot, I had a mind to return it, and I was holding it the whole time. But we can't have both of those things in Shulchan Aruch. They contradict each other. So the Bir Halacha asks this Kasha. We'll skip 33, we'll come back to it in a few minutes. If you look at the second line, Ulachaira Saiser HaMachaber Es Atzmai, after the period, the second to last word, Ulachaira Saiser HaMachaber Es Atzmai, Del Kamabas Sefei Hetek Ladinas Divir Rashba, Shehuva Bebeses B'Shem Haran, Perakira. In Sefei, he quotes the Ran, where he says, Shekasav B'Shmai Sham, Tumot Relitin Lechatchila B'Shabbos Ta'af, Shakadira Tachten Emedes Ala'esh, Kivon shima sekis umamin akdera alea ein derech b'shulbakach. But adifa mikiru gruvuk tuma. Having a pot there is better than just simply covering the flame. Let's lav derech b'shul. That's considered not at all a normal way of cooking. That's fine. You take it out of the refrigerator and put it on top of a pot. However, here in Sif Gimel, he's writing, you have to have the tanayim. That's his kasha. Why is it that in one place he says you can take it out of the refrigerator and put it on top of the pot, and the other place he says you can't do that? So he writes in Mitzasi B'dagum Rivava, skip that. Achar Kach Mitzasi. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sorry, I didn't underline it. 5 lines up. From the bottom. Achar Kach Mitzasi B'primigadim Sheyishev Zua Kushya B'tuv Tam. Says, I found an excellent answer to this question. In Sif Hey, he's talking about a pot full of food. We don't see the food that you're putting on top of this as if you're putting it on the fire. You're putting it on top of a pot. Therefore, you can put it there, even straight out of the refrigerator. But He says a very, very fundamental yesod here. He says, when I put food on top of a pot, which is cooking with food in it, how do I view that? Am I putting, let's just take a case. I take pieces of chicken, schnitzel, dry item out of the refrigerator. I put that on top of my challah pot. How do I view that? Where did I put that schnitzel? The answer is, says the Prima Gaudin, I put it on top of a pot. It happens to be a very hot pot. But I put it on top of a pot. The pot has an identity of its own. It's a chalent pot. Where did I put it? I put it on top of the chalent. That's where I put it. Therefore, it's fine. But when the pot is empty, where did I put my schnitzel? I put it on top of the fire. It happens to be there's a pot in between to decrease the heat. But what's the point in the pot? Just to decrease the heat of the fire. Masha'en kein. In a case where there's food in the pot, so I'm not putting it on a fire anymore. It happens to be that pot is heated up by a fire, but I'm heating up my food from the pot. There's nothing wrong with putting food on top of a pot. I can put food on top of a pot. I can't put food on top of a fire. So now, this gives us a lot of food for thought of how we'd view a lot of our personal appliances.
That was a pun again.
Yeah.
Food for thought.
As a matter of fact, there were some people who said, you know what? Let's make a special type of hot plate. We'll fill it up with water. We'll fill up a hot plate with water. Like this, the hot plate will be considered a pot. So I could always put food straight on top of the hot plate on Shabbos. I personally think that if we can discuss hot plates in a few minutes, but if we're going to asher a hot plate, that's not going to do it. Unless you have like a chalent filled hot plate. You manufacture the hot plate and they like stuff chalent in there, I don't think it's going to really work. But ultimately, this is the aside that's put forth to us, that if you have a pot full of food, you could put anything on top of there. That's not Meslik Mevashel. No one cooks on top of a pot. But if you're just separating between the heat source and your food, an empty pot's not going to do that. That's the way the Prima Gaudin answers this question, and that's halacha l'maisa. So now, Ramesha has a couple of tshuvas. He has more than this, but in Source 35, I brought down a few of them. The first one is
Mutter la. What? That's a quick question. So if you took the cholent out of the pot already, and now it's just a heat source.
It's empty. It's an empty pot?
It's an empty pot.
Completely empty?
Not the pot. I'm saying you took the cholent out of whatever heat source.
Yeah.
There's still the heat source there. Can you put something next to it then?
Next to what?
Next to the heat source.
According outside of crockpot.
What we're saying now,
you're always allowed to put something outside of crockpot. That's we didn't really get into this, but you're always allowed to be signed with something. It's, what's the matter? Let's settle this all right now. Let's settle this right now.
So what's the difference between putting a pot upside down on top of a fire, or putting a pot on top of a fire, then putting another pot on top of it, versus
forget about upside down. Upside down is just a practicality.
Okay, right.
Otherwise, it falls straight through the middle.
Right.
You put it upside down so it will trap the heat inside.
Right.
And you'll have to. But you know, the truth is, did you say upside down? No, I just said upside down just because of practicality.
Yeah, it says so. Sema says akira.
Right. I mean, you could be slicing the kira by putting it the right way. I'm just again when I said upside down, it was just like I was thinking, what's the practical way of doing this?
Right.
You put it upside down, you have a surface to put the food on top of.
So,
I have other questions, but I'll wait till you
start. So, halachically, you're still then putting it directly on the fire. There's just something separating the fire between that versus putting something next to the heat source.
Not next to the heat source, on top of a pot.
Right, on top of, top of a pot.
Which is on the heat source.
Let's just make it very, very simple. You know, say you have a stove.
Is whether or not there's food there.
Exactly. That's the only chilek. When there's food there, when there's food in the pot, it changes everything. Because the pot now has an identity of its own. It's a pot of cholent. Where am I putting this schnitzel? On top of my cholent. You don't cook on top of cholent. That's not a way to cook. You don't cook on top of a cholent. That's called lav derech bishul b'chlal. You don't cook on top of food. But when I have a heat source, and I have a pot blocking the heat source, where am I cooking? I'm cooking with the heat source.
So for our practical example, a chalent pot versus a sheet of metal on top of a range.
Okay, right.
So that sheet of metal on top of a range, you're putting food on the fire.
Exactly.
Being separated by a range.
Exactly.
So to put something back on there, it needs to meet, according to what we're saying, it needs to meet the qualifications
of Chazara. Correct.
But on top of a pot of food...
And can't come out of the fridge.
Correct.
So you can't take something out of a fridge and put it on a blech.
Right.
But you can take something out of a fridge and put it on top of food that's on that blech.
Correct. Exactly. That's exactly what we're saying.
Can you put it on a hot plate? We're not at hot plates.
We think we could discuss how hot plates in a few minutes. But okay, I think this is the... So. What?
I'm leaving soon, so hopefully we'll get to it.
So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in source number 33. I think it's a very, very relevant source. Let's read this together. Al Pi Akira, he says, he's talking about putting your pot on the your old pot, your old empty pot, on top of your fire. He says, the Havale Kira ki grufuk tuma. Now that there's a pot there, it makes into grufuk tuma. Shari Akadero says, semes is Pi Akira. The pot covers up the opening of the Kira. Therefore, you could put your pot of food on it. Now he says, same thing would be true in our ovens. You have fire inside it. You could put food on top of a piece of a little piece of either plaster or whatever it is. Since you have the separation between the food and the fire, the same thing will be true if you cover the coals of the flame. This is a very important point. You have to cover over that surface with either a piece of wood or any type of sheet, lehekera, for some type of hecker. V'yasem hakedera aleha, and put the pot on top of that. V'cheimash m'sayf ha'sim b'rama, v'ayim b'magan avram, b'sayf sim reish n'tes, medini shihia v'atmona shehita gamkein kimaril, v'mash v'sham da'idei hecker davra mafsik, through having something which is mafsik, mutra filitun l'chadchila b'shabas. So what he says is as follows. When you have something, a maziva is part of the structure of the oven. You have this cover. You have, an oven in those days was a box, a concrete or a stone box that had a fire in it. And you had a maziva, a cover, which covered it. Says the Maril, you can't put it directly on top of that cover because that's kavua there. That's always there. There's no hecker. But if you were to cover that, then you could put something on top of it. Why? Because you have a hecker. So let's try to compare this to a modern-day hot plate. Modern-day hot plate has an element inside. There's an element that runs inside the hot plate. That's the fire. You have a cover on top of it, a metal cover. According to this Maril, that metal cover is not sufficient because it's part of the structure. It's part of the apparatus. It's one big heating apparatus. You'd have to have a cover on top of that, say a piece of aluminum foil, on top of that, and then you'd be able to put something on the chatchila.
Chazara or straight out of the fridge?
Straight out of the fridge.
I thought it has to be on top of something that's food. Just straight out of the fridge.
Okay. Now, that's why it gets complicated with a hot plate. What's a hot plate? Is a hot plate a range?
You're saying, can you cook directly on a hot plate?
Is it Mexican Mabash when someone puts a pot of food on a hot plate? This is subject to a major machlekes of paiskim.
Because it depends how hot the hot plate gets.
Is that how you would answer the question? It depends if it can physically cook or not. So the paiskim go from one end of the spectrum to the next. Rav Yashiv says, a hot plate is like a regular stove. It gets hot. The whole thing is like aish. It's a light plug. You can't put anything on top of a hot plate on Shabbos. The only way to do it would be to have, an upside... I'm not even sure if it would work according to Rabbi Yashiv, you'd have to have a pot of food. So Yaakov Fisher disagrees with this, Mishnah Shabbos Kochasa disagrees with this, many Paiskim disagree with this, but we'll continue with discussing this if you don't cancel tomorrow. Then, but that's really what happens over here. And other places can say, a hot plate? That's not a cooking apparatus. No one cooks. It's made to keep, to just to warm things up. So what's the problem? The problem is, at the end of the day, we still will only view it. Ultimately, there's an element there. So how do we view it? The element's a covered element. We know the halacha with a covered element is you still have to have the conditions. You can't just take it out of the fridge and put it there. So therefore, they would say, cover that. Most Paiskin would say that you should at least have something which is similar to a pot. In other words, take an upside down tin, like one of those pans you're talking about, turn it over there. Like this, you'll have your Kedera Reikonis at least. On top of something which is already Garfakatam. So really, what in essence what you're doing is your hot plate really is a naturally Garfakatam. It's naturally a covered flame. But still, we can't just put something on the fridge, out of the fridge on top of something which is Garfakatam. You have to have the conditions of Chazara. So you know, add something else there, like an empty pot, and you could put it there L'chatchila on Shabbos. Now many Paiskim say, where do you get this from? Where do we find that making a double Gufa Ketumah is going to help you? Many say it's not going to work. That's Rabbi Yashiv's opinion. But other Paiskim say the combination of a hot plate not being something which is designated to cook, which already gives it a weak case, it's a very weak description of Mechzikim of Ashel. People are going to think you're cooking by putting it on a hot plate. No one cooks in a hot plate. But still, since it gets so hot and theoretically can cook, that's why a lot of Paiskim don't want to allow you to put it there, l'chatchila. So therefore, the proper thing to do would be to put not upside down necessarily, but the point is there should be some air between the hot plate and what your separation. There's a hecker now, you have an upside down tin, and there's a hecker, there's space in between, so that would allow you to put it there l'chatchila on Shabbos, and that's definitely not a mechzikim of Ashel. And that is the what I understand to be the most widespread minhag. To put something on top of a hot plate is mutter. Most people won't put it directly on top of a hot plate because of this issue, that at the end of the day, it looks like it's more similar to what we have in Sif Gimel, which is just simply a gar of a katam, a cover of flame, and there you can't just take something out of the refrigerator and put it there, and therefore what you'd have to have is an upside down tin, and that would make it better. Where it's now it's muchach, it's clear, it's not, it's lav derech bishel, right? And that would be the halacha l'maisa.
So then, what about a warming drawer?
So now we get to all these other things. I think warming drawer really ends up being the same thing. A warming drawer is no one. I think it's better than a hot plate.
Better.
Yes, because a warming drawer is really not meant to cook. It's the whole idea of a warming drawer. It's just to keep something warm. So there's really no merci on putting something in a warming drawer.
So then you don't even have to do a second layer.
There's really not much you can do. What are you going to do in a warming drawer?
I was wondering.
So some say, you know, put some aluminum foil. I personally think a warming drawer would be fine. Just, you know, as long as the food is davar yavesh, it's in special called tzarchai.
So here's my next question.
You can put it in there.
When the warming drawer is on, the oven itself that's on top of it warms up a little bit. Can you then put food in there? Because there, it's straight up nechzikim avashel, because you're putting it in an oven.
But there's no fire in there.
The fire's below in the warming drawer.
Is it yad soledespel in the oven?
Is it yad soledespel? No.
Then it's not a problem. No, that's not a problem. If something's not yad soledespel, we can't even enter the discussion of nechzikim avashel if we don't have a heat source. I mean, I always read the words of my 11th grade Rebbe when we were learning Shehiyah. I don't know how much I learned in 11th grade, but I remember this very clearly. I remember he said a few times, anything under Yad Seledesbay is like a shelf. Putting it on something which is under Yad Seledesbay is like a shelf. You can't have any Yisr Bishol or any Mechzikim Avashol on putting something in, I've seen people, you take the dishes off the table on Friday night, you don't want to leave them on the counter. You don't want to wash them because you don't need them for tomorrow, whatever it is. You don't want them sitting on the counter. The people open up the oven and put the dishes in the oven. Like this is closed. You put it in the oven, close the door. It's out of sight. After Shabbos, you open up the oven and you wash them off. Is there a mechzikim of Ashel there? No way. I mean, you're just using the oven as a storage space.
And then there's no issue of atmana because it's not a tight container.
Correct.
There's still lots of air space.
Correct. Right. Now, the interesting thing is, if you ever do that, to make sure they warn the family members, because I was once telling this to somebody, and told me, oh, his family does that. and they put a bunch of things in the oven, and plastic, everything, and someone to warm something up after Shabbos. So he turned on the oven, not knowing that he had all the dishes in there, and lo and behold, they all have very melted things in the oven. So just warn the family members. All right?
Sure.
Okay.